Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having an absolutely terrific day today. Lots of stuff going on as always. And how are you doing today, Ted?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. This is the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice. I shall be glad in it. The weather up here in North Carolina is absolutely stunning. It's about 70 degrees, clear blue sky, a little bit hazy, but not bad. I haven't seen any chemtrails for a couple days, so doing wonderful. You know, I mean, with God on your side, you know, with God plus one's always a majority. It doesn't matter how many other people are fussing. So yeah, I'm pretty excited. God's a good God. I've got a lot of really, really good stories I want to talk about today, and we want to go into detail about this. But I want to start off the show this day talking about a former chiropractor who basically has been known for her anti-vaccination views out of Canada, and she has had her doggone license suspended because she was posting anti-vaccination material online, and she also basically was fined $100,000. Her name is Dina Churchill, and she lost her license for sharing anti-vaccination posts on social media. Dina Churchill says that the price for sharing her health truth is a $100,000 fine and losing her career, but it's a price she's willing to accept. The former Halifax-based chiropractor surrendered her license and admitted to charges of professional incompetence. Are you listening to me, friends? Because she questioned vaccines. The vaccine inserts say they have all kinds of side effects, including sudden infant death, $4 billion paid out, but she was charged for professional incompetence following a lengthy investigation by the Nova Scotia College of Chiropractors, all prompted by her persistent sharing of views on vaccines that are either unfounded or disproved, which is a complete and total lie. They are founded and they are proved. In a decision publicly released, a hearing committee of the college said Churchill has shown no remorse and there is genuine concern that she is ungovernable? What the heck, man? CBC News began reporting on the complaints against Churchill in 2018, but she's declined to speak publicly until now. In a recent interview, Churchill said she believes there's a distinction between what she was posting on personal social media pages and what she was doing in a professional capacity. She said she felt assaulted that her professional governing body could mandate and govern her personal views. I didn't want to take the post down, she said. The whole issue is not about what I was doing in my practice or what I was promoting in my practice. I was reprimanded on my own personal views and wanting to share it with people that I love. Wow. Think about this, guys. What is this group of individuals who run this country and run the world, the people who took down Building 7, what are they willing to do to continue to perpetuate the lie of vaccines, including taking this lady's professional license away from her, destroying her career, and fining her $100,000? Guys, I'm here to tell you that these groups of people that are pushing the vaccines are the same groups of people, and I've told you this before, who own and run the media and own and run the drug companies. And when they decide they're going to go ahead and go after somebody like this from a professional standpoint, no holes are barred, no funds are spared, and they do everything they possibly can to destroy the person, both financially and professionally. This is absolutely nuts. Austin, what do you think?
It is. It's really, really crazy when we see what has been going on now for years on the censorship of truth and facts and real research and real life events and the aspect of they don't want them being spoken of at all. They want it to be forbidden. They don't want anybody speaking the truth. As I told you guys yesterday in detail, the Facebook now and Pinterest and every faction of those companies as far as their subsidiaries is now going in and going to start putting pop-ups over any articles that talk about vaccine truth. They don't call it vaccine truth. They call it vaccine information and anti-vaccination hoaxes. So if you put an article out about the fact that the MMR and all the side effects that it comes along with, including citing what it says on the vaccine insert, Facebook now puts a pop-up over your article or over your posting and basically has a click to go to the CDC to re-educate you on the aspect of vaccines. There's a reason why this is going on, because it's funny, because I talked to so many people and so many people are like, oh, well, you know, vaccines are good. It helps people, you know, so they don't kill, you know, contract these diseases, blah, blah, blah. You have to vaccinate. And my question is this. if that's fact and that's truth, and these vaccines are so unbelievably mandatory, they're so required, they're so good, they're so safe, and they're so healthy that there's absolutely no legitimate reason that any person would ever not want to get a vaccine, why can't anybody speak the truth? Why are people being censored? Why are people being fined? Why are people being fired? Why are people being ostracized for simply asking questions? Somebody simply asked a question about a vaccine and they declared an anti-vaccination hoax by asking a question. You don't have to do that in a free market. You don't have to do that in a free world. You don't have to do that with an open topic. You don't have to do that. We don't do that. When people talk about these asinine topics about guns and they go, he's got a double barrel extended magazine clip, unlimited, illegal ghost gun. Everybody kind of looks at each other and goes, what did they even say? What did this idiot even rattle off? Doesn't even make any sense. We don't sit there and go, oh, he's an anti-gun hoaxer. We have to completely and totally cover them up. We have to censor them. We have to block them. We have to put a pop-up on this article. Nobody can talk about that about guns. No, we just come up and say, you're a blithering idiot, and you absolutely made no rational statement whatsoever, and it's clear you know nothing about firearms. Go on with your day. This is easily what they could do and say, we're not even going to address this. If this really is a hoax, if these are truly misinformation, anti-vaccination hoaxes, we're not even going to address them because they're hoaxes. There's no reason to even give them any credibility by even talking about them whatsoever. That's what they would say, but they don't. They fine people, they ban people, they fire people, they put block-ups over posts. They do everything they can to prevent people from even looking at a research article involving a negative aspect of a vaccine, just like the billboard in Australia that said, do you know what's in your vaccine? Do you know what's in your vaccine? That's all it said. One question on a billboard, text. Do you know what's in your vaccine? And it was removed within days. The prime minister called it rubbish. He called it garbage. He said, we will not allow this type of rubbish to be posted in our country. Why? Because I asked a question? And realistically, do you know what's in your vaccine? Do you know that it has formaldehyde? Do you know that it has polyasorbate 80? Do you know that it has an aborted fetal cell tissues? Do you know that it has aluminum? Do you know that it has it in there? It's just a question. And it's ironic now because we're seeing so much of a push to try to cut down on what's really going on with the truth. As if anybody has followed over the last week into this week, the court proceedings involving Planned Parenthood's lawsuit against the Center for Medical Progress, when the aspect of they're trying to sue these individuals still, the leading one, the main ones, is the founder of the Center for Medical Progress, which is a group of citizens journals. He's facing 14 counts of felony invasion of privacy, basically for saying that he was a part of a company called Biomax to enter medical conferences and healthcare centers. Now, what he did was technically illegal. He posed as somebody he wasn't. He had fake identification, and he snuck into these conferences. And what he did was, you guys remember this, he got video footage of individuals from Planned Parenthood discussing in detail the selling of babies after they were aborted and making millions of dollars off selling aborted parts and aborted body parts. Now, it's ironic about this now. Because of this court hearing, the defense that's representing Dunn has now brought in numerous Planned Parenthood staffers to take the stand, and numerous ones now have admitted to providing fetal tissue for an exchange of money. But that doesn't mean anything, they say. It's the fact that this guy went undercover and recorded stuff that he was not supposed to record. That's what matters. The court proceedings have been underway to decide if the defendants should face a criminal trial. Planned Parenthood's abortion providers appeared under oath in court on Friday and admitted that supplying body parts of children in the womb to for-profit brokers like Stem Express. Doe 7, which is referred to, a non-physician who performs surgical abortions for Planned Parenthood in Northern California, testified that she provided fetal tissue on numerous occasions from the abortions that she performed at Planned Parenthood as a regular occurrence and packaged them and sent them off. When asked if she had ever heard of Stem Express, she said she had heard of them, and she also knew that Stem Express was involved and money was exchanged between Stem Express and Planned Parenthood. When Stem Express also discussed aspects of Doe 12, another witness that took the stand asked about the heads of babies being attached to the body upon tissue procurement. Doe 12 said photos from CNP are accurate and show the heads are sometimes attached and sometimes they are not attached to the body when they are sold to Stem Express. But nothing to see here. It doesn't matter what they were doing. It doesn't matter that they take these babies and they put them in vaccines. It doesn't matter that they take these babies and they put them in Pepsi Cola products. Yes, you guys heard me right. I've talked about it for years with their aborted fetal tissue they use to make artificial flavoring, or what they actually call natural flavoring, in their drinks. That does not matter. That's completely and totally a side note. We need to prosecute the defendant because he got footage of us admitting to doing this at a conference. This right now is something that, of course, nobody wants to bring up. Most of the mainstream media outlets have tried to cover this up. They've tried to suppress it. They've tried to bring up as much flack and rhetoric, or Trump tweeting to some other girl that I heard about on Twitter and having another tweet argument, and CNN goes, Trump's a racist. He tweeted again to this girl. He was disrespectful, blah, blah, blah. More clown show activity. But let's not look at the fact that Planned Parenthood has staffers under oath on the stand admitting under multiple occasions that they sell these body parts to Stem Express with and without heads in some cases. Absolute barbarism, in my opinion, Dad.
You know, I don't even like talking about this stuff. I'm like,
I don't either.
This is awful. The problem is that nobody talks about it but us, and we don't talk about it very often. Not this. This is so far out, so far into the bizarre realm of reality, that nobody wants to accept that any of this is real because it's too macabre. I mean, this is some sick stuff. The problem is, it's real. You know, it's like all the stuff we talk about on this show. I mean, it's just, for some reason, I don't know why, you know, the good Lord has given us a spirit of boldness on this show, and we've gone out and we've basically gone out where nobody, no man has ventured before, except for very rare occasions, and we talk about it on a consistent basis. I mean, who in the world would think that we would bring this stuff up and try to expose it? You know, especially on a national show like this, international show that has millions of listeners. The reality is that, you know, I was telling a good friend of mine, Mike Brown, yesterday, went to high school with him, and we were discussing, you know, the show, and he listens to it on a regular basis. And I told him, I said, you know, I just feel blessed the good Lord has allowed me to do this, especially in my 60s, to have a platform this large to be able to go out and talk to all you guys. And on top of that, I get to pray for you every day. I mean, I'm just blessed beyond measure with the abilities that God has given me in order to get on the marketing end of this giant radio broadcast that we have now, this podcast. And I just thank God for the opportunity that He's given me. Because I tell you what, guys, as long as I've got breath in my mouth and I can pretty much, in my lungs, I can guarantee you, it's Austin's the same way. We're going to do what we know we need to do according to what the Holy Spirit leads us to do. You think, well, wow, Ted, that's pretty bold. Well, no, it's not the Holy. It's not me, bud. Guys, listen to me. It's God hopefully working through me. And I try my best. That's why we always talk about Jesus. We always talk about prayer. I always talk about praying for you guys. That's what separates us from the rest of these shows. You think, well, you know, it's too religious. Okay, well, whatever. I'm happy for you if you think it's too religious, because it's going to be religious. And it's not going to be religious in a way that basically is like organized religion. It's going to be something that we're going to try to do our best to teach everybody to have a relationship with Christ on the show, and why we need to do that. It's so, so very, very important. By the way, back to the Jeffrey Epstein mess. Sealed Jeffrey Epstein court documents now name at least 1,000 people, 1,000 people who were involved in all of this weird stuff that he was involved in. A judge must decide whether to release them. The names of at least 1,000 people appeared in sealed court documents associated with Epstein, a court heard a few weeks ago. Whether to make them public is the latest skirmish in a years-long battle that continues to play out even after he's dead. The revelation came after attorneys from a John Doe asked a federal judge in New York not to release the names. Here we go. Of people who were not directly involved with the 2015 defamation lawsuit by Epstein accuser Virginia Roberts against Epstein's longtime confidant, Ghislaine Maxwell. The case was settled in 2017. Now, let's talk about Ghislaine Maxwell again. We talked about her yesterday. I try to do this in a way that's not really weird, but this is pretty weird stuff. This lady, you know, being involved with Mossad, CIA, and all this other stuff, she was pretty raunchy, okay? And she did some really weird stuff. I mean, she basically did a video shoot about 20 years ago in which she appeared in a red, white, and blue bikini. And she basically, and it says, this is from the Daily Mail, and it says, Ghislaine Maxwell posed for an American flag bikini for a series of raunchy pictures at the height of her friendship with pedophile Jeffrey Epstein, telling people at the shoot how she's handed out sex toys at a dinner party. I'm going to post this on the website. Maxwell, 37 at the time, left assistants taken back by her intensely sexual vibe. I don't even know what to say about this. This is some sick stuff. This lady was basically someone who came out and who manipulated men, who knows what else she manipulated, probably women too, into these weird sexual relationships and probably seduced a whole bunch of them. And she's also the one who basically was one of the top recruiters of these young girls into these intensely rigged relationships with these older men. And she was the daughter of Maxwell, the publisher out of England, who was also a Mossad agent. I mean, this is nuts. All of this is nuts. And so that gets you into the dark, underbelly, seedy world of the sexual slave trade and sexual perversion trade that these guys are so known to do. And, you know, they get these guys, they invite them to the party. The guy's a billionaire. So he gets – I've got a friend of mine. Let me be very careful how I say this. I've got a friend of mine who's a friend of a billionaire, and this guy's a pastor, and he's always being invited to this guy's parties. And I've told him, I said, Bud, I said, you've got to be really, really careful when you go to these parties because there's some really weird people there. And he told me the last time that when he was there that one of the people came up to him and said, you know, you're a pastor. You know, why are you here? You know, don't you realize the damage to your reputation if people find out you're here? And I think about that for a second. And what they would do is because Jeffrey Epstein was supposedly a billionaire, which I don't believe he was. I believe he was all Rothschild money, Mossad money, which is the same thing. The Mossad is the private, professional, army, you know, for the Rothschild banking cartels, what they are. They're the private hirees. They're the militia, not the militia. They're basically the what's the word I'm looking for, Austin? They're the Blackwater, the mercenaries. There we go. The mercenaries. Yeah, the mercenaries. And they bring these guys into these beautiful homes, and they basically have these beautiful models all over the place, probably our age, and they look like they're 23, 24, 25, I'm sure, with all the makeup. And they basically have these guys get seduced by these girls, and then they get them on videotape. And over 1,000 names on this. Think about that for a second. How many people in high-level government officials for 1,000 – how many countries were involved in this? How many people were involved and didn't even know? And then the guy all of a sudden, he may be a good husband. He may be a good father. And he gets in this party, and they have this intensely sexual vibe that they even called out that she puts out. And all of a sudden, it's like, well, whatever. Nobody's going to know. Well, guess what? Everybody's going to know because you're going to be found out. So it's absolutely crazy when you stop and you look at it from a – actual amount of people that are involved in this. By the way, change topics. America's first gay credit union gets a green light from Michigan. All right, this is just unbelievable. If we came out with America's first straight credit union, all HE double sticks would break loose and everybody would be absolutely insane. There would be back multitudes of homosexuals outside protesting. I mean, probably hundreds of thousands. But America's first gay credit union gets green light from Michigan. This would be like if we had Miss White America, okay? We have Miss Black America, that's okay. We have Miss Hispanic America, that's okay. We can have Miss Gay Credit Union America. We have that too, I'm sure. But we have America's first gay credit union. Now, why would that surprise anybody? We have a banking institution opening up a gay credit union. The banking institutions are the ones who ran the Frankfurt School. There's your link. Why would we think there'd be anything different about this? Now, this is going to help people as far as learning how to trans. They're going to provide loans to be able to transgender and change their sexes. I mean, you think, what the heck, man? Why would they do that? Well, I don't know, but that's what they're going to do. And it says Superbia Credit Union will offer products which are often outside the scope of a more traditional lender, such as loans for transgender people in the process of transitioning, says Miles Myers, founder of the New York-based Superbia. New York-based? Oh, why would that surprise anybody? It's New York-based. Yeah, we won't even go there, which created the credit union. I can walk into a bank or credit union and apply for a loan or credit card or savings accounts, and frankly, no problem, says Myers. If I walk into the same institution with my husband, wait a minute, what's his Miles Myers with his husband? I guess he's gay. Yeah, I walked to the same institution with my husband, and we came across the different responses and welcome, and this is where it all starts to change for the community. Large swaths of corporate America now advertise their support for LGBT rights. That's a fact. Because large swaths of American corporate America is now owned by the Rothschild banking community through interlocking corporate directorships and outright stock purchases. And hundreds of companies have signed on to support federal and state laws to give equal protection to the community. A majority of Americans say they support gay marriage. I don't believe that. Here's the thing about gay marriage. You know, to me, it's one of those things that it doesn't even show up on my radar. I don't care what these guys do. Don't care. But I don't believe that a majority of the people in America support gay marriage. I simply don't believe that, because I don't believe that this is something that we've gone down to. Maybe we are down to that level. I don't know. But here's another article on the gay guys. Conversion Therapy Center founder, who sought to turn LGBTQWXYZ Christian straight, says that he's gay, and he rejects the cycle of self-shame. All right, there you go. So this is, again, I think I want to – here's why I brought this up. We have so many people coming out now who are Christians, who basically were Christians, and they're leaving the Christian community. They're becoming gay activists. They're becoming gay, and they're rejecting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, you say, well, why would you say that on the show like this? Okay, here's why. This is a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of Christians. You're probably looking at 0.00001%. I mean, nothing. It's insignificant. The reason I'm bringing this up on this show is this. Whenever they have an opportunity, this Rothschild group, this Sabbatane Kabbalist group, this group that took down Building 7, whatever you want to call them, it doesn't make a difference. The Druids, call them the Druids. You know, call them the Canaanite worshipers. It doesn't make a difference. Whenever they have an opportunity to find a focus on a Christian, to slam that Christian and to cause doubt in the hearts and the minds of other Christians, they run it through the AP Wire and through Reuters, and it makes these national news leads. Now, guys, I'm being right straight with you right now. You have to see who's doing the news. I could come out and I could make a statement like, Ted Brower opposes the gay lifestyle, which I do, all right? Now, I don't care what they do, because I'm not part of their little loop, but you know, I oppose it. If you try to put me into that situation, I'm going to say, I'm not involved in any of this stuff. It's just weird, okay? It's ungodly. But that's not going to make the AP News Wire. That's not going to make Reuters. That's not going to be broadcast to thousands of radio and TV and print media and people all over the world because Ted Brower opposes this. You understand what I'm saying? But one guy who's a Conversion Therapy Center founder who sought to turn the LGBTQWXYZ Christian straight now says he's gay. So it makes national news. Why is that? Think through that with me for a second. They've got to maintain the narrative. It's all about the narrative. It's always about the narrative. It's always been about the narrative, and this is who these guys are. They're going to continue to push their Sodom and Gomorrah narrative. And I'm going to say this again on the show. You know, they tried Sodom and Gomorrah. Guess what, guys? It failed. It didn't work. Every thought of every man evil all the time. Gosh, guys, that's where they're headed. That's what they want to do. What do you think, Oz?
Well, yeah, that's really well said. I mean, that's Sodom and Gomorrah was definitely an interesting example of that, especially when every man, young and old, came to Lot's door to basically pull the angels out so they could rape them. Now, that was a pretty strong statement when you read it. And almost every single interpretation of that, every single version of that, essentially says or implies the same thing. Every single man, young and old, in the entire city converged upon Lot's house to yank the angels out because they basically wanted to have their way with them. Now that's a pretty sick town, if you ask me. But that's the level of depravity that they're trying to bring it to. And we see now that more and more incidences are occurring against people who speak out, whether or not people are basically blacklisted, whether or not they're completely censored online, whether or not social media bans their account, whether or not they have vandalism now. Chula Vista police have now basically said they're investigating a hate crime of a local church that was vandalized over the weekend. The pastor believes they were targeted because of their strong, outspoken opposition to the controversial city-run children's event called Drag Queen Story Hour. The church is at South Bay Pentecostal Church in Chula Vista. And what happened was, essentially, the pastor, Amado Jerez, has been actively seeking to get this thing shut down at the local library. They've gone up there numerous times. They've gotten kicked out numerous times. They've gone to the city commissioner. They've gone to the mayor. They're doing everything they can to get this shut down. Now, of course, over the weekend, they had two individuals that they saw on surveillance camera parking their sedan in the church parking lot around 3 a.m. Sunday morning, walking towards the building with cans. A few minutes later, they're seen jumping back in the car with spray cans, and they filed a hate crime. And the photos of it are quite disturbing. Huerzar quickly covered up the symbols and messages, and at every single corner, there were phrases, hateful words, and graffiti all over the wall. They sprayed basically racist, bigot. They had pentagrams. They had Hail Satan. I mean, it was weird. I mean, it's weird stuff they sprayed all over this church. Really, really, really sadistic stuff. Now, it's ironic that they've never had a single issue with graffiti or vandalism at that church, the pastor said, ever. And then all of a sudden, a few weeks into opposing this sick, perverted, transgender, drag queen story time pervert mess, now they start having people write these sadistic words and phrases all over the church. That's not coincidental, guys. And he believes the event, he's gone numerous times and outspoken about the opposition of this city-sanctioned event called Drag Queen Story Hour. He said the event is not age-appropriate, nor should it be public, taxpayer-funded program. He said if people want to have this happen, they can do it in the privacy of their own home, or at a bookstore, or at a private event, not at the Chula Vista Public Library that's funded by taxpayer dollars. He goes on to say, despite everything that's happened, he's not going to back down. He said, I'm very sad about this event. I'm heartbroken, but I'm going to continue to speak the truth. He has a meeting with the Chula Vista mayor yesterday, or today, I think, at 11 a.m. He hopes to convince her to cancel the public event or have it moved to a private event like the South Bay Pride Festival later on this year and not have it held and promoted for children at a city taxpayer-funded library. And I have to commend him for his resolve on this. This is something that I wish more pastors were doing all throughout the country. See, here's the thing. If we started having a pastor, just a pastor, in every single city that one of these were happening, going into the commissioners, going into the mayors, raising holy Cain and bringing up every single factual and legal aspect of why this is not acceptable, and repeatedly hammering this, they start getting some traction. A lot of these mayors, a lot of these city commissioners start realizing we're getting some flack from this. We're getting a lot of blowback, but that's not the case, is it? We see in most cases very few people even oppose this when it comes into the town. They go, well, we don't want any conflict. You know, that transgenders, they can kind of do what they want. And aspect of it is, dude, you can do what you want in the privacy of your home, but not at a private or a publicly funded library promoting it to 3- and 4-year-old children. It's not okay. And if the commissioners want to allow this to happen, if the mayors want to allow this to continue to happen, then they need to get their butts voted out the next time. And they need to make sure that there is a strong, strong opposition from every single angle speaking the truth about this. Because if they want this to go on, they can do it. But they're going to have to deal with the public backlash that is occurring with this. And that's exactly what this pastor in Chula Vista is trying to do, Dad. So I'm happy to see he's trying to do something. I wish more pastors were doing the same. But again, it goes back to the irony of what I just talked about. All these individuals in the LGBT, QRZ, XYP, T, pedophile, also too. They've added P in there now for a lot of them. All they want to do is demand that everybody is, you know, has the same rights. They demand that everybody has this inclusion. Everybody has, you know, the ability to do this. But then when you speak out about something, when you talk about something you don't like and it opposes what they promote, then all of a sudden they go in and they blacklist you, or they go in and they write graffiti and pentagrams all over your church, or they go in and basically sue you for not wanting to make them a cake. And then after the lawsuit's over, another group comes in and sues you again for not making them a cake. Oh, and then the third time you have another transgender that comes in and sues you for not making a transgender transition cake for them now, repeatedly trying to do everything they can to ruin you, because not because you're going out of your way to make their life miserable, but simply you're not complying and capitulating with their demands. And that's the problem I have with all this, Dad.
You know, Austin, people don't realize if somebody sues you, you know, you got to defend the lawsuit unless it's thrown out. But even if to get it thrown out, you got to defend it. So if somebody says, I'm going to sue you because, you know, you didn't bake me a wedding cake, then what happens? You go, you can't sue me for that. I don't want to bake you a wedding cake. And they, oh, watch me sue you. And so they file a lawsuit. And then some corrupt judge who's been elected or appointed sees it. Instead of tossing it out, he goes, all right, there's grounds here, because we have hate crime legislation in the United States. This is part of the hate crime legislation. So they've got laws on the books against hate crime. So if you say, are you gay? Oh, it's a hate crime. It's a hate crime. You asked me if I was gay. You're like, oh, I'm just kind of curious. I mean, you say you're a nanny, you're a babysitter, and you want to take care of my kids. I kind of need to know if you're gay or not. I kind of don't want gay people watching my children, because I'm not sure exactly if they're going to try to indoctrinate them into that lifestyle. Ah, it's hate, it's hate, it's hate. And all of a sudden you go, but I just, this is my right. No, I'm suing you now because you didn't hire me as a nanny and you didn't bake me a cake. And you're like, whatever, man, go away. And then all of a sudden you get service. You get paper served on you from the court. And you're like, what the heck, man? I'm getting sued. And the guy, you call your attorney up, and your attorney goes, yeah, you're being sued. And they're suing you, let's say, for $100,000 or whatever, and you're going, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to pay it. Oh yeah, if you don't show up in court and they get this thing taken care of, and you don't show up in court, they're going to rule in favor of them. They're going to rule in favor of the plaintiff, and they're going to say, okay, boom, garnish his wages, do this, blah blah blah. You go, but what the heck, man? It was a frivolous lawsuit. No, it wasn't, because you didn't get it discharged. And all of a sudden, now you got $10, $20, $30, $40, $50, $100,000 in legal fees. And you're like, what the heck, man? And this is what Austin's talking about. This is what happened to the cake baker over there in Colorado, which has become a huge, huge gay-promoting gay state. And guys, I never used to talk about this stuff, and because I didn't care. I mean, the gays don't show up on my radar. I don't care. I mean, if they want to be gay and they want to just basically do what they're going to do, okay, but I don't want them to have special rights based on their sexual preferences. That's not how I feel about it. I mean, if they want to be gay and they want to sodomize each other or whatever they want to do, all right, I don't really care if it's in the privacy of their own home. I don't agree with it, but it's not something that I'm going to get bent out of shape about and get involved in, because I don't care. I don't have to see it. But when they bring their transgender stuff into our public libraries for our children to see, to try to indoctrinate them into their lifestyle, that bothers me. And so now they're able to do all of this because of hate crime legislation. Well, you're a hate crime. You're intentionally disrupting. No, I'm not. I don't want my little 7-year-old son or grandson seeing, you know, a woman dressed up like a guy or a guy dressed up like a woman giving a drag queen story hour trying to want them to emulate that. See, this is how they're doing it to the youth, little by little by little by little. They're taking over this country because of this. And we're allowing it to happen, like Austin says. If the pastors in the area got up and said, no, we're not going to do that, then okay, they're going to get some blowback. There are going to be some people in their congregations that are going to go, oh, you're in a political thing now, you can't do that. Well, no, wait a minute. Who said it was political? They made it political. The Bible's very clear about it. It's part of what we're supposed to be talking about as Christians, but we don't. By the way, the FBI never searched the pervert Wiener's laptop until after the 2016 election. Some of the investigators that looked at it said that it was unbelievably bad. It was just some sick stuff. But now, guess what? Wiener's iPad and his iPhone are missing. Surprise, surprise. We uncovered that the Obama White House ran the Wiener email investigation with the aid of the FBI and the DOJ. Now we know that the FBI didn't even search Wiener's laptop until after the 2016 election, and they somehow misplaced Wiener's iPhone and iPad. This is an article by Gateway Pundit, and I'm posting this on our website. And it says, the DOJ's report on McCabe, released on Friday, the 14th, with a bombshell, we discovered hidden in it were pieces of information that, when put in context with information released at the time, indicate unimaginable corruption. The DOJ's IG's report related to the many lies made by former FBI head Andrew McCabe in 39 pages in length. But guys, think about this. This pervert, Anthony Weiner, who was hiding all of this stuff on his iPhone and his laptop, have now gone missing. So now the physical evidence is gone. So now they can't even bring charges against him if they wanted to, unless they find other physical evidence against him, which I'm sure is pretty deep. I mean, how deep is this rabbit hole? I mean, how bad is it? You know, Zero Hedge has an article that came out. I posted it on our website. It says, how deep is the rot in America's institutions? And this is authored by Charles Q. Smith. And it says, either we root out every last source of rot by investigating, indicting, and jailing every wrongdoer and everyone who conspired to protect a guilty in the Epstein case, or America will have sealed its final fall. When you discover rot in an apparently sound structure, the first question is, how far has the rot penetrated? If the rot has reached the foundation and has turned it into mush, the structure is one windstorm away from collapse. How deep has the rot of corruption, fraud, abuse of power, betrayal of the public trust, blatant criminality, and insiders protecting the guilty penetrated America's key public and private institutions is difficult to tell, as the law enforcement and security agencies themselves hopelessly compromised. If you doubt this, please explain how the NSA, the CIA, the FBI didn't know that Jeffrey Epstein, what he was up to, and with whom. This is a lie. Of course they did. Epstein was free to pursue his sexual exploitation of minors for years prior to his wrist-slapping conviction, for years afterwards. Epstein, the highest profile and most at-risk prisoner in the nation, was left alone, and security cameras recording his cell and surroundings were broken. If all this strikes you as evidence that the American security and law enforcement institutions are functioning at a level that's above reproach, and you're not well paid, then you're a well-paid shill who's protecting the guilty lest your own misdeeds come to light. Or number two, your consumption of mind-blowing medications is off the charts. This is a good article. I'm posting it. And it's true. I mean, you've got to be living under a rock in a cave somewhere if you think that Jeffrey Epstein basically committed suicide. Number one, I don't even believe he's dead. But guys, this is the world as we know it. And remember, MI6, CIA, Mossad, and the same thing with Gisela Maxwell. All of these groups are tied together at the highest levels, controlled by the international banking community and the 17 Kabbalist Luciferians. And we've talked about this many times on the show. This is the group that runs the country and runs the world and controls these intelligence agencies. Remember, J. Edgar Hoover, head of the FBI for many, many decades in the United States, was a transgender crossdresser? Gay? Wait a minute. He liked to dress up as women? Oh, yeah, he's a pervert, bud. And so he basically had so many people compromised in this country. But see, this guy is right. The problem is, I'm going to say something here. I had a friend call me yesterday or text me and said, you know, you sounded a little bit upset yesterday. You know, the problem I've got with this is that the rot that they're talking about here, it's systemic in the United States. I mean, it's through every major branch, every major government organization. It's in the military. It's in a lot of different law enforcement groups around the country. And it's a rot that's basically to the core, the soul, of the heart of the United States. And it all started, you know, with Abraham Lincoln. And I'm just going to be straight with you guys. The country was doing pretty good until he decided he was going to go ahead and start basically the Civil War. I mean, the South had had enough of being taxed to fund the North, and it was getting unfair taxation. The slavery issue was a minor issue of the Civil War. They made it the primary one. They made the slavery issue of the Civil War the primary cause of the Civil War, which is a lie. Just like they've made the Holocaust of World War II the primary cause of World War II. World War II has become a footnote to the Holocaust. That's just the facts, guys. You know, the Civil War has become a footnote to the slavery issue, and it's been twisted. And what's happened is when Lincoln did what Lincoln did, and he destroyed the sovereignty of the states, he created a cascading event that's brought us to this point right now, including allowing Woodrow Wilson in 1913 to bring back in the Federal Reserve Bank. different name this time. It was the Bank of America under Biddle. And he allowed it to happen in 1913, which has enslaved the country. And it's allowed the politicians to be bought by dirty money. And so we have a systemic rot to the entire country. And the only reason this has been allowed to happen, listen to me, is because we as Christians have been told that we're not going to go through the tribulation, that we're going to get raptured by the Scofield Bible. It was never taught before 1850. By Cyrus Scofield, basically picked up the teachings of Darby and wrote the Bible in the early 1900s. It was never taught. And that Bible penetrated our learning institutions and our theology centers, and this has been disseminated now. Mike, my buddy who I talked to yesterday, he said, you know, you sent me some videos on this, you know, marching towards Zion and a few other videos that have been done. And he goes, it really made me understand what in the world happened and who did it and why they're doing it. And it's all about bringing in a new world order and an Antichrist and rebuilding a third temple. You think, well, gosh, Ted, it can't be. It really is that simple. Now, it's technically complex because they're involved in so many different areas. But guys, when you can buy up every major industry with fiat currency, that means, in other words, I can say, okay, well, this company's worth $2 billion. Okay, just run me off $2 billion on the press over here, or even better than that, just add a couple of dots and dashes to the computer screen here in our central bank, and we'll go ahead and buy the stock for this company, and now we own that company. Hence, 95% of the major corporations in the United States are controlled through central organizations, where several central organizations, all banker-controlled. He said, well, they don't produce anything, they don't create anything, they just buy stuff with their fiat money. Well, that's exactly where we are. And that's why we've got the systemic rot all the way through. The only way we're going to stop the systemic rot is to get rid of the Federal Reserve Bank. Good luck. Good luck. That's all I can say with that. Because, I mean, we would have to have enough people in Congress who have the chutzpah to get rid of the Federal Reserve Act, to get rid of the, and what would happen is the United States would go into a depression unlike something we've ever seen before. I mean, it would be horrible, much worse than 1929, which was caused by the central banks. Why would that happen? Because of our debt. The United States is funding its debt through borrowed money. The United States is $1 trillion in deficits every single year. That would go away. The federal government would no longer be able to have a $1 trillion deficit. That means that $1 trillion of spending from the federal government would stop instantaneously, and that would cripple the nation's economy because all these organizations and groups of people and hundreds of millions of people are indirectly or directly funded by all of this money. So it would change everything. So we would have to go in and change that. But the problem is the American people, they're not willing to take those kind of meds as far as that. They're not really take that. You know, sometimes, you know, you get a cold or something, you got to take some pretty bad tasting cough syrup. Right? And, you know, if you don't want to do it, you're going to cough. Well, you know, this is a big load of bad tasting cough syrup that nobody's going to want to take. And see, and that's the problem that we have, Austin. This funny money, this loose money, this $1 trillion a year in deficit spending has basically caused the United States to become addicted to this cheap money, this cheap cash. And it needed to go back to where it was in 1913, but they're not going to allow that to happen because the American population doesn't have the stomach for it. They're not going to do it. They're not going to allow it to happen. And if they did start to have it happen, let me tell you what happened. Let's say somebody did this. The Federal Reserve Bank got booted out, and all HE66 broke loose around the whole world. Within 4 to 5 years, when that group of people had gone out of power, had been voted out, they would bring that same Federal Reserve Bank back in. And they'd say, we've got to get it back the way it was. We've got to get it back the way it was. And they would go back. This is why they just don't feel the deficits matter anymore, because we have gotten ourselves into a mess. This is why what a dollar would buy in 1913, you know, it's only worth 3 cents now. 3 cents. It's lost 97% of its purchasing value because of this. The problem is the medicine that we would have to take to fix this at this point would be unbelievable. And you'd have to have an entire secondary system put in. But if that's not enough, the international bankers now, the Federal Reserve systems aren't even good enough. They want digital currency now because they're easier to manipulate. They don't even want to have printed currency anymore. It's all got to go digital, like Bitcoin. It's like we told you years ago when Bitcoin came out. It was a big beta test to find out how it would work and how it wouldn't work. And this is what they're doing. They're gradually bringing us into this one world society, this cashless system, where you're going to have to take that mark of that beast. That's where this is going. And guys, I'll say one thing for it. If you right now are bored with your life and you are energized by this, you know, you need to read some different stuff. I mean, I tell you what, we are living literally in the end times. We are literally living in a point where the Bible has talked about what's going to happen 2,000 years ago, and we are in it. We're the book of Noah thousands and thousands of years ago, not the book of Noah, the book of the book of Genesis, when Noah was talking about, you know, when Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, we're in it. We're in the days of Noah right now. We're, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be for the return of the Son of Man. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be 5 years or 10 years or 20 years or 50 years. I mean, the United States was a pretty effective republic, and it's been very difficult for these guys to bring it down. It's taken almost 100 years of the Frankfurt School pushing this agenda to destroy us socially. And guys, they've done a pretty good job of it. I've got to give them credit for that. I've told you this before, too, with the gay and lesbian community. These guys are organized, and they are militant. I mean militant. I mean, they will go out, and they will protest, and they will get out there, and they will vote in their little tiny voting block, and they will try to force their agenda, because, guys, they're doing what we should have been doing a long time ago as Christians. We should have been standing against all of this stuff, and we haven't, because of the Scofield Bible. And it was all planned that way, Austin. So how deep is the rot in the American institutions? Pretty doggone deep. And the only way we're going to get rid of it, getting rid of that Federal Reserve System, restoring Christianity, having a revival, basically in the United States, and restoring our values. The problem is, guys, they brought in a whole bunch of other nations, a whole bunch of other immigrants who don't share our values and who don't share our faith. And this is going to be a major, major problem to try to restore anything. And they know that. And that's why they've done it, to destroy nationalism and the foundation of the United States of America. Austin, what do you think, bud?
Well, that's well said. That's exactly what it is. It's to undermine the values, because once you start erasing the values and the Christian beliefs and even just the morals and ethics that we've seen decay so heavily over the last 30 to 40 years, once you start erasing those, you essentially just go to borderline anarchy at some point, because there is no reason to even have any type of there's no reason to have any type of civility anymore. Because there none exist. There's no reason to, because you have no moral obligation. You have no ethical background to say, hey, I really shouldn't do this, or I really should do this. It's the right thing to do. When it's just you live the way you live, and there is no ramifications, and there are no consequences, and you do whatever you want, there's lawlessness. And that's exactly what they've been trying to promote, because if there is no nationality, there's no national pride, if there is no constitutional beliefs, if there are no biblical principles, if there are no morals and ethics, that's all you're left with is lawlessness. And we've seen this before in this country to an extent, as you mentioned, with the Civil War, when things went completely sideways, and you also had, you know, the Redlegs out in Kansas and Missouri and the fighting that was entailing over there. And the Civil War was not just the Unions and Confederacy fighting. There was a whole other faction of militia. There was a whole other faction of pillaging. There was a whole other faction of looting and fighting on a regular basis all across the country, all the way out to almost the Midwest. It was horrific. It was a dark time in this country, and a lot of it came down to the aspect exactly what Dad said. It was a war of northern aggression. It was a concept that essentially the South Carolina did not want to deal with anymore, and they and six other states pulled out and said, listen, we're done with this. We're no longer going to be taxed unjustly. We're no longer going to be forced, essentially by gunpoint, to fund all of your ridiculous, belligerent, unbelievably disrespectful ideology, all your continual building, all your infrastructure, everything you're doing with the banks, we're done funding it. We're not going to deal with it anymore. We've dealt with this in England. We're dealing with it again now, and we're absolutely not going to deal with it anymore. And that's the main precipitating point that started with all that. And the slavery, as Dad said, slavery was a large faction in what was going on, but then at the end of the day, it wasn't, because the faction of it, what it came with, was that the states, the southern states, were no longer going to allow a tyrannical government to overtake them again. Remember, it was only, what, 1860. This wasn't, the Revolutionary War was still very, very fresh in their brains. The concept of the fighting England and them trying to stay away from all that was very, very fresh. This wasn't, you know, 200-300 years later like it is now. And so they did not want to deal with that again. The problem is now the American population has been so dumbed down that they weren't going to fight anymore. I've told you guys the story. A lot of people don't even understand the Whiskey Rebellion right after the Revolutionary War. George Washington, I think, had to take 30,000 militia all the way over essentially to Kentucky because they were refusing to pay a 1% tax on whiskey production to help essentially rebuild after the Revolutionary War. They were ready to start a second war over it again because they were not going to have a 1% tax on anything at all whatsoever, period. And they were willing to die over it. And that's the result that the American population had at that point. But when you start adding in the lies, the propaganda, the rhetoric of what you have to do and how the state basically is the all-knowing and the federal government is the all-knowing, these are the things you have to start looking at. It's the same concept of what we're seeing now with the vaccines, what Dad just said earlier. When you start allowing, when you start having a government, when you start having an entity, when we have a government take the power to make medical decisions for us, you know, we in essence accept that the state owns our body. That's a concept that a lot of people don't understand, especially these pro-vacciners. I don't care if you're pro-vaccine, I don't care if you're anti-vaccine, I don't care if you're true clean vaccine like I am. When you start saying that the government has the right to detain you or prevent you from living freely on your way or stopping your children from getting an education that you are already paying for via property taxes, that you are paying that money now and you are giving it away by force because the government will take it if you don't pay it and you cannot exercise those public school systems and utilize them because the government deems your children to be unfit because they say you need a vaccine to go in there. When you give the power to the government to make those medical decisions, you accept that the government owns your body. And that's a concept. It's a really hard one to get through your head. But you have to understand that. When you're paying money to the state, essentially by force, for public funding school, and then the state comes in and says, you cannot utilize that money that you are paying to the state unless you forcibly vaccinate your children by what we demand you vaccinate them with. You are telling and giving permission to the government and saying, we submit to you and you own us. We are basically your little blank. And you can do whatever you want with us, and there's nothing we're going to do to stop you. That's what you're saying. And that's the biggest concept about the vaccines that most people fail to understand. It's not just about the cleanliness of them. That's a huge concept. That's a huge, probably one of the biggest ones. But you have to understand, when you have the government come in and dictate what you have to put in your body, and you submit to them, they own you. They own every aspect of you. And at that point in time, they can do anything they want to you. Same concept we're seeing in Hong Kong now. The protesters have been clashing in Hong Kong for over 13 weeks now. Now police have been putting blue dye in water cannons to stain the protesters to mark them later for arrest because the police now have banned demonstrating. They've banned demonstrating. Listen to what I'm saying. They've banned it. They've made it illegal to publicly protest, even peacefully, publicly protest. They have banned it. So for the 13 week now, they've been protesting hardcore. And the flashpoint on Saturday between police and protesters, the police started deploying tear gas and water cannons with blue dye so they could find them later in the city to arrest them. Well, protesters started throwing bricks and Molotov cocktails and setting fire to barricades, basically firebombing the police. This is what happens when you allow a tyrannical government to own you. When they can come in and say, hey, listen, we're not going to allow you to demonstrate anymore, guys. You can't do it. You can't walk outside. You cannot speak outside unless we allow you to speak outside. That's what they're doing here now. And that is exactly what happens when they fully disarm you. And that is why I've told everyone, best believe if the American population is ever disarmed, it will fall completely and totally victim to a tyrannical government to the likes that we've never seen a country fall before because we've had such a level of freedom and we will become such a level of slaves. Every aspect of what we knew will be completely gone and erased from the textbooks. Everything we had will be evaporated in a second if we allow ourselves to be disarmed. Never disarm for any reason whatsoever. Once it happens, you cannot go back from that standpoint at all, ever again. And that is the last fight. fighting teeth that we have in the Constitution to maintain a true constitutional republic, if we even have one anymore, Dad. And that is a fact.
Well, that's what England was doing. England was disarming the American colonists, and that's one of the reasons they came up in rebellion against them. They said, look, if you take our guns, this is why we have the Second Amendment, because it wasn't going to happen again, you know, because they were basically being disarmed by the British, and the British were coming in and just, you know, coming in and just shooting them and doing whatever they want to do to them and forcing them to, you know, quarter them and everything else, you house them. And they said, you know, this isn't okay. This is not even fun anymore. And one other thing I want to add about the Civil War, too, remember, Lincoln freed the slaves in the South. He didn't even have the right to free the slaves in the South. Now, I'm diametrically opposed to slavery. It's still going on in the world today, by the way. But he freed the slaves in the South, and they weren't even part of the Union anymore. But he did not free the slaves in the North. People don't get that. He freed the slaves in the Southern states so they could fight against the South, but he did not free the slaves in the Northern states. You say, well, what the heck? Yeah, read the history books. Read the book, The South Was Right. That's just a minimal one. There are a lot of other ones that are a lot stronger than that. By the way, you know, the leftists that have brought us all of this unbelievable immigration, they didn't even realize that leprosy could be the next public health crisis to hit Los Angeles. Leprosy cases are emerging in Los Angeles County, according to a recent study revealed in Reuters Health Report and co-authored by Dr. Maria Teresa Oka of Kirk Medical Center at the University of Southern California, Los Angeles. They told Reuters that she's urging the public to fight the stigma and to realize that this could be spread. It's infectious. Guys, it's kind of like MRSA. I have a friend of mine who contracted MRSA like 6 months ago, and it ate a hole in his foot. And he went to the hospital, decided he didn't go to the hospital anymore, came home after it ate a hole through his bone and his leg broke. I mean, he's going to die soon. Guys, when you start getting these infectious diseases that basically don't stop, like leprosy or MRSA, you know, you really got to take precautions against it. And now here we are, Los Angeles is turning into a third world HE double sticks hole. And, you know, we've got leprosy and plague and everything else coming back. This is what the globalists want for us. This is how they want to. I mean, how bad is it about to get? These guys are nuts. We got leprosy? Jeez, what are we, back in the Old Testament? Leprosy? New Testament? Leprosy? We have to hope Jesus comes back to heal the lepers? I mean, what the heck, man? Guys, it's pretty messed up, but this is what's going on. But guys, I love you, and I appreciate you, too. And, you know, remember, this is a day the Lord hath day made. I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it. Remember, guys, God loves you, and so do I, and you guys are awesome. Guys, go ahead and close it up, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow, and I'll do the write-up.
Yes. Thank you guys again for the support. Email us or call us if you need anything at all. Healthmasters.com. Be sure to vote for the product of the week for what product you want to see win. Looks like the Magnesium Brain Food's got a few votes under its belt right now. So be sure to check that out on the website at healthmasters.com. The Wednesday will be changing over tomorrow for product of the week, whatever the winner is tomorrow. So be sure to check that out at Healthmasters. And of course, multiple other specials we have going on right now on the front page of the website. Thank you again for your support. Stay protected, stay awake, stay frosty. Have a blessed night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.